The Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said,
Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me.
And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.
And they began to debate among themselves who among them would do such a deed. Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them,
The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers.
He said to him,
Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you.
But he replied,
I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny three times that you know me.
He said to them,
When I sent you forth without a money bag or sack or sandals, were you in need of anything?
No, nothing,
they replied. He said to them,
But now one of you has a money bag, should take it, and likewise a sack, and one who does not have a sword shall sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed what is written about me is coming to fulfillment.
Then they said,
Look, Lord, there are two swords here.
But he replied,
It is enough.
Then, going out as he went as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them,
Pray that you may not undergo the test.
After withdrawing about a stone's throw away from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done.
And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping. He said to them,
Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test.
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12. A man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him,
Judas, Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked,
Lord, shall we strike with a sword?
And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
Stop, no more of this.
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come for him,
Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area. You did not seize me, but this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness.
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the home of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said,
This man too was with him.
But he denied it, saying,
Woman, I do not know him.
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
You too are one of them.
But Peter answered,
My friend, I am not.
About an hour later, still another insisted,
Assuredly, this man too was with him, for he also is a Galilean.
But Peter said,
My friend, I do not know what you are talking about.
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying,
Prophesy, who is that you struck?
And they reviled him in saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before the Sanhedrin. They said,
If you are the Christ, tell us.
But he replied to them,
If I tell you, you will not believe, and if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God.
They all asked,
Are you the Son of God?
He replied to them,
You say that I am.
Then they said,
What further need have we for testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth.
Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying,
We found this man misleading our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, a king.
Pilate asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
He said to him in reply,
You say so.
Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds.
I find this man not guilty.
But they were adamant and said,
He is inciting the people with his teachings throughout all of Judea, from Galilee, where he began even to hear.
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him, and after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
But all together they shouted out,
Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us.
Now Barabbas had been imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus. But they continued their shouting,
Crucify him!
Crucify him!
Pilate addressed them a third time.
What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him.
With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been imprisoned for rebellion and murder for whom they had asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country. And after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now, two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said,
He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God.
Above him was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying,
"Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us."
The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply,
"Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. Indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied to him,
"Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said,
"This man was innocent beyond doubt."
When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now, there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him on a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which the body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so my thought today is why do we call this Holy Week? I think I told you this story. One time I was saying Mass for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and in the hotel I went out, and I started my homily with, if your last name doesn't begin with the letter H, you will not enter heaven. Then I gave this incredible homily and never explained it. So now I'm at the team meal, and the owner of the Steelers, Dan Rooney, the coach at that time was Bill Cowher, said, hey, Father, what was that H stuff about? I was so embarrassed. So I was too late. The following year, I had them again. So I'm in the hotel, and I get ready to start Mass, and this big offensive lineman in the front row raised his hand. He said, hey, you're that Padre with the H stuff. Now, I thought that was very good for an offensive lineman to remember a year later. So I had the opportunity to explain. If you're not holy, you won't enter heaven. Now, you don't have to be a saint to be holy. You got to be holy to be a saint. So we call this Holy Week. Are you holy? If I ask your husband or wife or children, is he holy? What would they say?
I don't know.
I used to think that the only holy people were old nuns. I used to think, well, they're holy. So when we begin such an incredible week and we call it Holy Week, I wonder why. Now, I know the first Holy Week, I know why it was holy. Because of Jesus. Not because of the people. Because of all the people he taught, all the people he cured, all the people he fed, all the people he preached to, if they showed up on Good Friday, they could never have killed Jesus. There would have been thousands and thousands of supporters and followers. They weren't there. But Jesus took that walk to his death so that you and I would get to heaven. So I know why the first one was called holy. Then everyone since then, the church has tried to recall and remember what Jesus did this week. Gave us the Eucharist, gave us Mass, gave us the priesthood. So the church spends all these times trying to remember what Jesus did. What about you and me? How do we make it holy? The church puts aside all these wonderful days. What about you and me? So I'm going to try to do something that I haven't done all during Lent. I ain't going to tell you, but I'm going to do something this week that is different than anything I've done, and I'm going to do it to offer it to God for what Jesus did this week in his life. And I invite you to do the same. Now, you have an opportunity You could come to the parish mission. My twin brother and I are going to be here Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. We're going to celebrate Mass and then give a homily on hope. On hope. Our Holy Father has asked us to think about hope this year. So we'll do that. We'll hope you can come 6 o'clock. Then we'll have a short reception at 7. Now Wednesday night after Mass, we'll have all these priests here to help us with the sacrament of confession. I hope you'll come. I guarantee you this much. You come to the mission, you will definitely tell God you want to make this week holy.